Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Matacha.
Good afternoon, Budzama.
How are you doing, Pastor?
I'm good. How are you?
Lovely. I cannot complain. God has been good, always good, all the time.
Amen.
Now, you know, in a world of endless options and choose your own adventures, spiritually that is, the idea of a single path feels almost scandalous. I mean, if you are lost in a forest, you don't want 100 options. You want the one path that leads home. And today, as we explore Christ as the way, we're looking at the bridge built over the chasm of human sin and asking, is the gate narrow because God is restrictive or because he is precise? Now, Pastor, when Christ says, I'm the way, what does that teach us about the brokenness between humanity and God?
Thank you so much. According to Genesis chapter 3, sin entered into a perfect world because of disobedience of our first parents. Isaiah puts it nicely. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear have, that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So sin has brought a chasm. It created a gap that we cannot cross on over it on our own. Sin has separated us from God. Jesus saying, I am the way, is good news to us, the sinners. He's saying, I am also the solution through which you can come back to God. I am the bridge. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives a parable of the lost sheep. The sheep that was lost far away from home after wandering, and it did not know how to come back, though it knew that it was lost. And it was up to the shepherd to go, leave the 99 and go seek for that one that is lost and bring it home. So Jesus, by saying, I am the way, he's saying, I came to bridge the gap that was created by sin.
I came indeed to bridge that gap created by sin. Now, if Christ is the way, what does that say about our own efforts at salvation or good works, as it were?
Yeah, that's a critical question. Mm. That's a very critical question, because most of the times we seem to confuse the theology. We say that there is no solution to sin except for Christ. Christ is the only solution to sin. And yet, we seem to think there is something in us that can help us remedy the situation, which is a bit of a confusion that we do. So, our efforts at salvation, good works, is like trying to climb a ladder to heaven with a broken rung. It won't work, according to Isaiah. Isaiah says something profound. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. You see, the very best evidence, the very best effort that we can do is not good enough. And you know the context of Isaiah, when it's saying our righteousness, all our righteousness, no matter what degree, human righteousness to God is like filthy rags. Mm. By filthy rags, it's not referring to a mop that is dirty or something that we have used, a rag, dead rag. No, mm-hmm. It's referring to the original language that is translated filthy rags here. It refers to the dirt that comes from the menstrual cycle. of women. That's Ooh. That's what our righteousness Ooh. Is like. Imagine Ooh, displaying goodness. That to God and say, look at me.
Ooh, my
it's
goodness.
Disgusting. Mm. It's disgusting. That's what our righteousness is like. Ephesians explains, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it explains that no one is going to be saved by the deeds of the law, but salvation is by grace through Christ. So what does that mean? If I may say it quickly, because people use that also to say, then because everything is to be done by Christ, then we are excused from keeping the law. The good works are needed, but it's not our good works. It's Christ's good works in us. That's why salvation is exclusively from Christ and not from our works. We may try, we may put an effort. We are not going to be saved because we are being good enough, but we are going to be saved by faith in Christ. God is not going to look at what we have done. He's going to look at what Christ has done in us and how we have appreciated, accepted, or rejected that offer. I can put so many verses. Romans chapter 3, verse 20, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 emphasizes this idea. Salvation comes from Christ, not us, not what we have done. We have discriminated ourselves and each other based on what we are able to do and what others are failing to do. And yet, we are missing the central point. Jesus is the way that will make sure we attain this salvation. All we need, accept him, abide in him.
Mm. Accept him and abide in him. Now, how does the atonement, you know, his death and resurrection, define the way back, as it were, to the Father?
Thank you so much. So the very word atonement, some theologians have said, I found it interesting, say that we can break the word into three. Atonement at one, meant, meaning Jesus was bringing the world at one with himself, or at one with the Father. Mm. So Jesus' atoning sacrifice, that's why salvation is exclusively his, because he is the one who died, he is the one who bridged the gap.
Yeah.
So if you check Romans chapter 4, Let me read this one quickly. Romans chapter 4, if you read verse 25, it says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Mm. So Jesus died on our behalf. He was treated. This is how Desire of Ages puts it, and I like it. It says Christ was treated as we deserve. He partook in our punishment, which he had no share, so that we could be treated as he deserved in his glory, which we had no share. So his atonement bridges that gap that ensures that we are brought back to God. He took our place, he paid the price, and he opened the way to God. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, the Father was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So without the atonement, this is what sets Christ apart from other gods and other religions. Did you know that there is no religion except Christianity that has a savior? It's only Christianity that has a savior. In any other religion, if you mess up, it's up to you. But Christianity does not only have a God, it has someone who says, if you mess up, I can save you. I can take care of the mess. That sets Christ apart. Mm. So without his atonement, then he can't be the way. Tell me of any religion that has a God that died for its followers, or is willing to atone. So the atoning sacrifice that was done by Christ sets him apart as the only way that can take us back to the Father.
Mm. Now, you know, how does understanding Christ as the way impact us in our daily walk with God? I mean, does that understanding have an impact at all?
Yes, it does. If Christ is the way, then it's necessary then that it means we should walk in that way. And we should walk daily with him, according to John chapter 10, verse 27, Psalms 109, verse 105. How do we walk with him daily? By reading the word through scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. By prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. By obedience. John chapter 14, verse 15. We can also put John chapter 15 where he says, I am the true vine, and you are the branches. Abide in me. If we allow his word to abide in us, and we abide in his word, then we are walking daily in this way to salvation. There is nothing as frustrating as people who say we believe in a God that we are not willing to follow or to do what he says. What use will it be if you know the way to Beira or you know the way to Johannesburg, but you don't, you have never gone there? So Christ being the way gives us this, has this impact that then because there is a way, then we must walk in the way.
Mm. Now, I want to leave you, my pastor, you know, but before I let you go, just one last inquiry. How can we explain the way, you know, to someone, you know, who may not necessarily believe in that, in a loving, non-confrontational way?
Yeah, that's I like this because at least it's more practical. It's not like these theoretical questions.
Mm.
How can we do that? First, let me acknowledge that there are people who have never heard of Jesus. There are people who have never heard of the gospel.
Mm.
And God tries to reach them through nature.
Yeah.
And uses conscience, according to Romans chapter 2. How do we reach such people? How do we try to show this way to others who might not know it, but in a loving way? First, we need to be respectful. We do not need to be arrogant and judgmental. Hey, because you don't know what I know, you are going to burn in hell. Unfortunately, many churches have been filled up by people who have been scared, and they are following God out of fear and not out of love.
Mm.
So we can explain our beliefs first by living what we believe. There is no sermon too powerful than a lifestyle.
Yeah.
A life well lived is a better argument against atheists. They will say, we would like to be a better person. Like, I don't care what he believes, but most of us, we know the verses in the Bible and what, but our life says something else. So we must live a life that demonstrates that we know the true way. And then we can also say, hey, when we live in such a way, it impacts the society. And they will ask us the secret. Let me tell you this quick one, because you said you want to leave me.
Mm.
No one preached to me to be an Adventist. None.
Mm.
I went to school with a classmate who was an Adventist. I didn't know what was Adventism at that time. All I knew was that guy was different from everyone. He was just different. He would not retaliate. He would not say any bad word. He was ever smiling. At that time, I was a bully and I thought he was stupid.
Mm.
I called him. I said, hey, why are you like this? Deep down, I was attracted by his character. Because he never fought with anyone. He was just different. He said, it's because of Jesus. Imagine how beautiful that was.
Mm.
I later became an Adventist because I was interested in this Jesus that can make a man docile. That was the only sermon enough for me to convert me into Adventism. Imagine if all Adventists were just different in the society. Mm. Living different, talking different, playing different music, dressing different. That would be more powerful sermons than the sermons that are preached on the pulpit. Through that, we can explain. People will then ask us, and then we say, hey, I am like this because I know the way. Mm. And that way is Jesus.
Mm. And that way is Christ himself. Pastor Amos, thank you so much for coming through. Always a pleasure to talk to you. We will connect with you once again tomorrow at the same time and same place. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you once again. Shalom.
Shalom.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.